We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, what is going on, everybody? What's up? Welcome to Talking Buffalo Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. Wednesday night? Well, actually, this is dropping on Wednesday morning. We're taping this Tuesday night. Finer Wings Club, episode 2 of Talking Buffalo Podcast. Coming to you, well, taping live anyway, from Sports City Pizza Pub on Niagara Street on the west side. And I love this place. I was here once, and it's only fitting that I have Sal Capaccio with me because you are actually the one, Sal, who turned me on to this place. I'm from the west side, born and raised in the west side. But I left, and I had never even heard of this place until you told me.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up right off Forest Avenue, Abbotsford Place.
Right near
a couple blocks from Elmwood. But yeah, this is my old stomping ground.
This area has changed a lot. We can talk about that, but it's definitely, and we're right around the corner here. I don't live far from here. Thanks for having me on your pod. I appreciate it. Good to be here to do it because, yeah, what happened for me was how I kind of discovered and got to know this place. Years ago, I actually got a tweet from Mike, the owner, who said, "Hey, I just opened up a new place. I'd love you to come by and visit." You know, and I'll do that at some point. Never really did, though. I never had a chance to, but I always knew where it was. And then I have a my best friend. His name is Chris, and he's an attorney. But he does poker and cigars with his buddies, and they always get pizza from here, and they bring it to where they're playing. And he would tell me, "You got to go into this place. The guy knows you. I told him I'm a friend of yours, and you love it. They got all the games." So one night he's like, "Why don't you come in with me? I'm going there one night just to hang out with a couple of the poker guys." So I came in. I'm like, "Oh, my God, this place is great." So short while after that was the NCAA football championship game several years ago. And looking for somewhere to go. This is pre-pandemic. Looking for somewhere to go, watch the game. And I had Perino and Marcel. I said, "Hey, there's a really nice place down Niagara Street, Sports City Pub," and I brought them here because I enjoyed it the first time with my buddy, and my buddy came with us that time too. So that's how I got into it. Just basically my friend invited me here after I had already known where it was, and I knew nothing about it. Once I came in, I'm like, "This place is great, and the food is awesome."
Sometimes I almost take pride to a fault on knowing like good wing places and pizza places and spots in Buffalo, but somehow this place evaded me for a long time. In fact, it wasn't, like I said, until a handful of months ago where you first told me about this. We're going to talk about the wings in a few. And by the way, at some point, we're going to eat some wings. So when we take our sponsor break, Sal and I are going to mow down some wings, and then we'll talk about what we got in front of us and how they were and everything. But, you know,
by the way, family place. I brought my family in tonight. Yeah, so everybody knows, it's a sports bar. They have lots of things on tap, obviously, the wings. But we're doing this, and I brought Max and Yana, my wife, in tonight because Max is a Yankee fan. You know, he's watching the game, so just letting everybody know it's a family place.
He's grown a lot. We did a show with O'Neill's. Not last year, 2 years ago. Yeah. So it was in the summer of 2019.
He was 5. He's 7 now, turning 8.
He's getting so.
Yeah, he is, and you know the way it goes. You got a boy that got real big.
But besides the food here, and this is the thing that really blows me away about this place, it's like modern looking. Like the lighting is great. The setup is great, but it also feels very neighborly.
I love
too.
It.
You know,
yeah.
It's not like downtown modernly. It's like neighborhood feel. Tons of craft beers, too. I mean, if you like, if craft beer is your thing, there are like dozens of them. There's like, what, 6-7 big screen TVs going on. There's memorabilia. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff going on there, man.
It's really good. Good people, too.
Now, how long have you been on the west side for?
So when we came back to Buffalo in 2011, you know, I moved from Florida to Buffalo, and you know, we've talked about that before and how all that went down, but kind of didn't know, like, is this going to work out? You know, I'm like, well, you know, I was starting back over in radio, and I was part-time, and my wife was starting a new job and staying in her business. She's a substance abuse counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but we didn't know. Are we going to like it? Is it going to work out? And I said, what if I suck at WGR, right, and people don't want me there or something like that? So we decided to rent for a year, and we rented actually over on West Utica, which is close to the west side. Here's Elmwood Village, yeah, you know what I mean, down there. Yep. And we were right off Elmwood, like two houses from Elmwood. And we rented there for about a year, and then things were going well, and it looked like, you know, things were going to work out. And my wife said to me, I don't want to pay anybody's mortgage. We need to buy a house. I said, okay, well, you know, it's tough. And the market was starting to pick up a little bit, not what it is now, right? And we didn't really have a specific place where we wanted to go, but we went to a realtor, and he basically pointed us in this direction. But what's funny is, Pat, because you'll appreciate this, is he basically said, look, there's some houses that we want to be in the Elmwood Village. He said, houses are pretty pricey there. You can take a look. This is a little out of our price range.
Uh-huh.
He said, if you want to go more west side, I can find you something. But at the time, there was like, you don't want to go past this street or that street. You know what I mean? Just the way things are right now. It's not, but you can get it, find a nice price, a fixer up house or whatever. So we found a really nice house we liked. She liked much more than me. I looked at this and said, are you kidding me? You want to buy this? She goes, oh, no, we're going to fix this. We're going to do this. My house was built in 1901. We've made so many changes. It's amazing now. My wife is amazing at what she's done. The original hardwood flooring is back. We exposed the brick for the chimney, right? All that. But now, where he said, like, you don't really want to go past that, now it's like, that's where you want to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's how great it's been. And that was in 2012. We had spent 1 year renting. Bought in 2012, and here we are 9 years later, we've been in the same home.
Of all the things about Buffalo, like, as a city that I love, probably the most important thing to me is the West Side. Again, I've spent the first 19 and a half years of my life there. I've been back and forth there my whole life. And when I grew up in the West Side, it was nice. I mean, there were, just like any other neighborhood, you know, or I should say most neighborhoods, there's mm-hmm. good areas, and there's areas you really don't want to be. It was like that when I was growing up. As I got older, and we moved away, it got worse for a while, at least anyway. Like, the West Side kind of, it went downhill for a while. I mean, it was getting bad. Crime was way up. People that I grew up with were moving out from the West Side and going out towards Kenmore and Tonawanda. But over the last 8 to 10 years, something like that, people have really started to come back. And there's just a lot of good things now on the West Side. Like this place. Do you kind of feel like you're a West Sider now? No, you're not from the West Side. You grew up somewhere completely different.
I grew up in Cheektowaga, but you know. It's funny, when people ask me where I live, I say Elmwood Village West Side area, because I'm actually kind of right in the between. It's right there. Literally, like, you walk outside my house, if you walk about 200 yards, you would say you're in the Elmwood Village.
Mm-hmm.
You walk 200 yards the other way, you're on the West Side. We're like right there, right? And so, no, I wouldn't say that, because I think there's such a history here, but I take pride in living here, you know? But I don't say, oh, I'm a West Sider, because I think that's for people like you who grew up here, who take pride in, like, really the way where it was and where it got mm-hmm. to. You know, I came in, I'm 9 years here, on this side of Buffalo. So I take very much pride in it. I love the fact of we have so many friends that live on the West Side that we've made since we've lived here. But isn't that kind of what you just said? Isn't that an example of what's going on really across the country, but especially in Buffalo? When we were growing up, and we were maybe in our 20s or 30s, probably especially 30s, people just were moving away from the city.
Yeah.
They were going to the suburbs.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, that was that way. It's not anymore. People are coming back to the cities.
I did it.
And I think that's happening all over the country. But especially here in Buffalo, I think people are just recognizing how cool it is to live in the city.
Elmwood Village, it's such great people watching.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
One of my favorite things. And there's a lot of other meaty people I know that live like around the Elmwood Village area and friends of mine. And like you said, so you've been on the podcast. I think this is actually the fifth time, which, by the way, I always come to you when I only come to you when it matters, Sal. You know, first episode ever. Again,
yeah,
this is like
that.
Episode,
right.
I think this is like 348 now. You did my first one. You did the 100th one. The first time I did a wing show with O'Neill's 2 years ago, I had I'm back on the West Side here.
We kind of go way back. We never knew each other. We never met each other, but we were on message boards together, right?
Yeah.
We went and everything. And I remember when you were, I was trying to kind of get back in radio. I was coaching and teaching down in Florida. I was on the Buffalo Range and Bill Zoe message boards.
You were very popular on those.
Yeah. And you were a little different than me. I was, I remember, like, and you did your Fox Sports thing. You were writing. You were trying to get on and, yeah, and have your own, you know, column, yep, for them. You were, yep, in this contest they were doing, right? Yep. Wasn't that, yep, that case,
yep,
right there?
Yep.
And then you had the Bill Cowher thing happen and all that kind of stuff. And the wings, you sent, you were trying to send Bill Cowher wings. You did a billboard, right? I remember all that. We didn't know each other, but that's how I remember.
Right? Yeah, that's all true.
Kind of our relationship,
yeah,
kind of.
Yep.
That's what happens to people now. Social media, and now it's Twitter, now it's Facebook, whatever. But back then, it was the message boards and how we kind of linked up like that.
Yeah, it was. Those were fun times, and I feel like in some ways, I mean, we're completely different in a lot of ways, but we at least have a couple things in common. One of them, again, you live on the West Side now. I'm from the West Side, but, and we're not going to jump into it, because what I was getting at when I was saying that you've been on this podcast is we've talked up Florida plenty, so we won't really deep dive into that. But what's different now for me, at least anyway, is the previous times where I've talked to you, because I've had this podcast for about 3.5 years now, I lived in Florida each time, and now I'm back living in Buffalo, not just visiting. So this is different for me, and I'm still kind of getting a little bit used. I mean, I spent 45 years in Buffalo and five, right, in Florida, and I don't feel like an outsider, don't get me wrong, but it's just different. Like, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, when you came back from Florida and back to Buffalo, did it take a while for you to get adjusted at all? Did things feel different? Like, did you look at things different, whether not necessarily better or worse, just different? Because I'm sure you'll agree with this. Better or worse, Florida's different, if nothing else, in Buffalo.
Oh, Florida is 100%. But actually, I'm kind of the opposite of that. And I was away much longer. I was in Buffalo for 18 years. I was in Syracuse for 4 years, uh-huh, to 22. I was in Florida for 16 years till I was 37, 38, right? Yeah. Actually, Pat, I felt like I didn't miss a beat when I came back to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's crazy and weird, though, in a weird way. I don't know if I can describe this, but I remember moving back and driving along the 33. Now, I grew up in, if you want to call it Tyrunda, Cedar Grove Heights, yeah, Chickawaga, right where the old Buffalo Drive-In is, right next door there, right? People, I'm sure, know where all that is, right? I hope, maybe if you don't, it's right off the 33, off Harlem Road. I grew up there, and then I moved. I lived literally on Harlem Road, on a house on Harlem Road, for, you know, through my high school years. When I drove on the 33, when I first came back, I don't know how to describe it. It was this feeling of angst and anxiety. Of it was emotional for me,
mm-hmm,
and I don't know. It felt like I never left, but at the same time, like, should I be back? Because, you know, there's an old saying, like, you know, once you leave, you know, you can never come back. Or maybe people say, why would you come back, right? Like, you're living your life. And I question myself. I think in my head, like, am I just doing this because I loved the Buffalo sports teams? Like, why am I doing this, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. And is this the right thing for me and for my family? But at the same time, the other part of me was pulling how much I loved it. Like, wow, this is, so many memories were running through my head of me growing up and being on Harlem Road or in Tyrunda. It was emotional for me when I first came back, but I did not miss a beat as far as fitting in. And I think it's because I kept in contact with my friends. My mom had lived here, and then they were down in Florida. I came back several times. I was very in touch with and plugged with what was going on with the sports teams. So from that aspect, that was not the case. But I went through a very, very wide range of emotions for a while.
I got, you know, it's funny because the way you said that too is I had family people talking to us saying, what are you doing coming back? Like, why would you come back? I was almost offended by that.
100%. Right? Same thing. Yeah. Why would you? You know, the big thing for me was, especially in Florida, I'm sure you got this. Yeah, you know, we're moving to Buffalo. Why would you move to Buffalo? Yeah. All it does is snow. It's so cold. It got to the point where I just wanted to, I never didn't want to tell people anymore, or just tell them to shut up or punch them in the mouth or something. Right? I'm like, because I love it there, because it's, yeah, great, because I grew up there. And I have a chance to be on radio there, which is like my dream job.
What is, like, maybe one or two things that, coming from Florida back to Buffalo, that you notice about Buffalo that was, like, worlds apart different, that maybe you didn't notice the first time? Because I'm just going to tell you one thing that I've noticed. In fact, this has to do with our show tonight. Traffic is just so much better here. It's so much, yeah, easier to get around. So
you don't realize
you're
that.
You're from their West Side, Elmwood Village. We're on Niagara Street here at Sports City Pizza Pub. I came from Lackawanna, and it took me 15, 20 minutes. I could come from Tonawanda, Amherst.
That's right.
Pretty much Kenmore, anywhere. It's going to take 15, 20 minutes. Traffic here in Buffalo is just so much better. I totally took that for granted.
And you go from town to town in Florida, and it's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's I'll tell you a good story. When I first moved back in 2011, a very good friend of mine who we grew up, we went to Cleve Hill together. He's a teacher in Orchard Park now, a coach, and he lives in Cheektowaga. And I wanted to go to his house. And I said, hey, I'm going to come over, blah, 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 you know, because we haven't seen each other. I said, I'll be there in a half hour. And I got there. He goes, I got there a lot earlier than that. Like, it took me 10 minutes. He goes, I was wondering, where were you? You said you'd be in a half hour. Where were you? I said, no, I was just in the city. I thought that's how long it took to get here. I'm so used to it taking so long, but it didn't, right? You take the 33 to Harlem Road and get off, right? It's amazing. So that's exactly true. I think for me, when I was a kid, I was too young to hang out in the city, downtown.
Yeah.
You know, and I know there's been a revitalization, but I didn't realize how cool downtown is. And I know it's cooler now. But even growing up, I guess I never realized because I was too young. I didn't go downtown and hang out. I stayed in Cheektowaga. I was a teenager. We went downtown for Sabres games. That's what we did. Yeah. But coming back, I'm like, man, I when people would talk about maybe going downtown or something, even then, I'm sure there were fun things to do. That's one thing that struck me a lot of. I didn't realize how much there was to do in the city. Now, granted, again, it's way more now than it used to be, but I don't think I ever realized that growing up.
One thing I kind of got my ass kicked over a little bit on Twitter is, so when I left 5 years ago, plastic bags were still a thing at grocery stores, and they're not now. And I had a tweet, and I complained about that with the brown paper bags, and I took an ass whooping for that. They don't care about recycling in Florida. I'm going to tell you that right now. Buffalo, New York State, I should say, as a whole, they care about recycling, and I found that shit out the hard way, man.
That's funny. I think the traffic thing's a really good point, too. You know, not just from how long it takes you, but just being stuck in traffic. We just got back from Oregon. We went on vacation last week. My brother mm-hmm. lives out there. Pat, it's supposed to take us 50 minutes, maybe an hour to get to the to get to the airport from where my brother lived. It took us almost over 2 hours.
Wow.
Because it was just stop and go. It wasn't just the distance. It was the traffic. And my wife commented, she said, this is one of the reasons I love Buffalo. This never happens. Now, you might go by the big blue water tower and be stuck in traffic for 5 minutes. Doesn't happen like that. So I think that's a good point as well. So, yeah, for me, emotionally was tough. I felt like I didn't miss a beat. Like riding a bike, I'd been here. I know where I'm going. But I think I discovered a lot of Buffalo I never knew, you know, since coming back. And that's been a really cool part of this journey.
One thing we're going to do right after the break. So we're going to take a break in a second, and we're going to eat at the Final Wings Club. So we're going to try some of these wings. I've only had one or two different kinds.
Why is it the Final Wings Club?
The Finer Wings Club.
Oh, okay. They said Final. You're not going to be wearing wings? Or what's up with you? You're going on a diet?
This is Finer. Way, this it. Is going to be a very short, exclusive club.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to try some wings. We'll let you know what we think of them when we come back from the break. And then we're going to spend a couple minutes kind of taking a trip down memory lane. I got some old places and venues and stuff from Buffalo. I got a couple years on sale, but we're around the same age. And I'm going to talk about some of sales memories with those places. We'll give maybe a couple minutes of Bill's talk. But anyway, we'll be right back after this break.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome All right, I'm back. Sports City Pizza Pub, Sal Capaccio, Max Capaccio, also in the house. We're going to talk about this food that we just had in a minute, but I got Max at the table with us. So for the first time ever, Max Capaccio is on the podcast. Got to ask you one question, buddy. I know you play lacrosse. I know you play baseball. I play football. What sport do you like playing the best?
Baseball.
Why? Why baseball?
Because baseball, I get to, like, catch it and throw it and catch it and throw it. And I'm really good at it, and I like it.
He's got a feature in radio.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I told him, I tell him all the time, maybe you could talk about sports on the radio like that. He's like, no. But then one day, I take him recently into the building where we are, Intercom Odyssey. I'm sorry, it used to be Intercom Odyssey. And we have all the stations. And he loves listening to Kiss 98.5. Like, he tells his Alexa device at night, Alexa, play Kiss 98.5. That's how he falls asleep. We go into the Kiss studio, and the DJ shows him how all it's done, and all, you know, and he was like, wow, this is cool. And I said, maybe that's what you want to do. And like, his face was like, oh, maybe I'll be a DJ on the radio. So, yeah.
You know, you can do anything we want. You know what? In fact, something just came to mind, too, before we talk about this food, which was incredible. I'm envious of you in a way because, so I have an 18-year-old son, and I'm so proud of him. You know, he's
right.
Done so many great things. He's going to get an opportunity to play some college ball, which that's always amazing, but to have a 7-year-old again, man, sometimes I wish I could just go back.
Oh, I understand.
Not that I would change anything, yeah. Just to be able to relive it, because 100%. Those are some of the best years in my life, just being able to sit in the stands and watch your kid play, whether it's no matter what level it's at or what sport it's at, just them having fun and just the joy and the joy that you get out of it. Because I don't know, man, watching my kid play for the last 10, 11 years or so, honestly, I think I got more out of watching him play sports probably than he did.
I totally get that. And I've heard that from many other people who have kids your age or teenagers, and oh my God, what a great age, and 7, like you just said. But I will tell you, like, speaking of envious, like, Max, no matter what he does, it's going to be awesome. He doesn't have to play sports.
Right.
I hope he does.
Right.
But I think, and I look at you and your son, and I'm envious, and I think, how cool would it be if Max did that? Like,
yeah.
What you got to experience and enjoy. And me, as a former high school coach who's seen kids at that level go on, and the parents and the pride, I mean, heck, I work with Bulldog. His son could get drafted this weekend.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm envious of you in that regard as well.
Well, I appreciate that. All right, so back to business here, Sports City Pizza Pub. So we tried 5 different types of wings. And so we have medium, Chevetta's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making sure I wrote these down right. Roasted garlic palm, Cajun, and sriracha garlic, which is like their next one on the menu. I liked all of them, but I was partial personally, the Chevetta's and the Cajun. I had him once with Shane the Cajun, and I was like, all right, well, you never know. Sometimes you might get lucky, or maybe I was just really hungry that day, so anything would have tasted good. But they're the truth, man. These wings here are so good. I honestly, God, I'm not just saying it because we're here. I legitimately like all of them. I'm not a blue cheese guy. You are. Your wife is. Your wife said she liked the blue cheese a lot. This place
she loves,
is awesome.
And
man.
She loves blue cheese. She knows her blue cheese, so she loves it. I am a blue cheese guy, but not like – only time I am is pizza and wings. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't eat blue cheese otherwise. I dip my, chicken nuggets I will sometimes. But it's not like I normally have it. Like, I don't even like a lot of creamy stuff or dairy. I don't eat a lot of dairy at all. It doesn't agree with me. But I'm so used to blue cheese on chicken wings. And when you grow up in Buffalo, what comes with chicken wings? Pizza. So I dip my pizza in blue cheese because I'm so used to the taste of being together.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, this is kind of like a buyer hot take, so to speak, before we move on. And I'm being dead honest, and I'm being truthful here, 100% truthful. You factor in the wings, which obviously this is the Finer Wings Club. I'm a big wings guy. I've had the pizza before. You've had the pizza. The pizza's amazing. Again, you got a nice craft beer menu. And if you don't like craft beer and you want to drink cheap, they got PBR Pounders here, reasonably priced. They got Labatt Blue Pints. So you don't just have to have crafts. They got, obviously, you know, some booze, some wine behind the bar, stuff like that. The bar itself, the vibe, the TV, just the way everything looks in here. And again, I'm partial, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, I'm partial to the West Side. So I'm always going to give the West Side props if all things are equal. This may be one of the best all-around bars, restaurants, whatever you want to call it, in all of Western New York, because it has everything. No matter what it is, this place has everything. Food, drink, and they're all good. I love it, man.
It's awesome. They got T-shirts that have all different kinds of sayings and logos and all. It's crazy. Like, you walk in and like, wait, I didn't know you had that. And then you look up, we see all these caps, these old school and new school caps all over the place, all different ones. It's amazing. Yeah, it is a very cool place. I enjoy it. And I'm glad that you have found enjoying to be able to do this.
Well, I'll tell you, through our years, our relationships, and all the times we've had you on the podcast, the thing I might be most grateful for you is that you told me about this place.
There you go, buddy.
I probably wouldn't have even known. But anyway, all right, so again, Sal and I, close to the same age. I'm like a couple of years, but I wanted to hit on a couple things, like kind of a, like a little bit of a stroll down memory lane, bring up some places. Older people listening to this podcast, surely they'll know some of these places. Younger people maybe will educate you a little bit. But I kind of wrote a little list of things, all things Buffalo from the 80s and 90s, which again is where we kind of came up a little bit. A&A's, let's start there. Remember that A&A's?
I do remember A&A's. Didn't they have the Christmas display every year, right? I mean, we would go down there for the Christmas display.
Yep.
If people don't, if you want to know what I mean by it, think A Christmas Story. When they're walking and they see the Christmas, and that's when he sees the Red Rider. It was kind of like that in downtown Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
The A&A's Christmas display was always huge. But yeah, all of those A&A's was basically a department store. It had different kinds of clothes and all those kinds of things. We see a lot of those around these days with like JCPenney and whatever, but I remember going downtown specifically every year for the Christmas display.
It was magic to look at it for that time. Honestly, I didn't care about A&A's the other 11 months
of
the year.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
There's another one. Brand names on Main Street. I don't know how familiar you are with that. They had the catalog. You used to order everything.
Oh, yeah, the catalog. That's what I know.
Catalog mail.
I don't remember going to the store. I remember the catalog. You look at the brand names catalog, and there was definitely everything from clothes to appliances to bikes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah, you'd look in the catalog, and how often did that come out? Once a year? Once every 6 months, maybe?
I don't remember, but it's weird just to think that you used to physically order stuff in a catalog as opposed to today with Amazon and everything.
No, that's right. That's right. I remember that.
So different. Now, this one I brought up to you before we started taping. You weren't so much a record theater guy on Main Street, but I totally was. So that's why I wanted
to. Yeah, and again, I didn't venture into the city so much. You know, I mean, I was we lived in Cheektowaga. I was there. My brother, a little older than me, he's 3 years older than me. We are both drummers, and we love music. And I remember he would go to record theater a lot, and he would come home with the records, and I would listen to his records, right? But I remember, you know, going and getting getting the Ozzy Osbourne record or whatever, you know, and something like that. But yeah, that was a big deal, record theater. And you know, for many, many years, I think they're finally just kind of recently just closed down, right? I think that's the case. I didn't go there, but I knew all about it, and I knew a lot of people who went there, and it was a big deal for people.
That was my, like, and it's kind of like, it's technically the West Side. Quick story, funny story. I was rich for like 1 month. The summer of 1989, I was 18 years old. I got like $7,000 to $8,000 in a settlement from when I was a little kid. I got in a car accident, and that was like $7 or $8 million to me.
Sure.
Back in those days, I went in the record theater, and I probably bought about 75 cassettes. In the history of the world, nobody ever managed $7,000 worse than I did, because I spent it in the summer and had nothing but like
Mom and Dad
tapes.
Did not tell you cannot do that or get mad or anything? That's amazing.
No. They didn't know about some of my ventures with that money. But I was the guy who would show up with the beer. I was the one who was everyone pitching for the beer. I bought the beer for like a month. I had all the cassettes. I had about 8 pairs of sneakers. So I spent all that money. Side story, you said something about your brother with drummers. Tell us about your dad, because we were talking about this a little bit. Musicians. See, every time I talk to you, I learn something new. I never knew anything about this, but your father had a very big musical background.
Yeah, my dad was a singer, and a popular singer in Buffalo, and he had a group he started. My dad came here from Italy, and I'll tell you the story about my dad. My dad came from Italy when he was 12 years old, and he changed his birth certificate to work. So he was born in 1944, but because he wanted to help out the family and work, and he wanted to make himself, you know, old enough, he changed, literally switched to say 43 so he can get a job. And back then, it might have been easier to just erase it. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
So when he passed away, he was legally 49 years old, and he actually died of a heart attack at 48. I've outlived my dad now, I think.
Me too.
Right now, I'm outliving my dad. You know what I mean? Like right around this year, this time now. But so he never graduated high school. Spoke Italian. They grew up on Swan Street. You know, him and the family. I have a bunch of uncles. They all came over. But he was in the Army, Vietnam War, you know. He had a very interesting life. But one of the interesting things was when he came back from when he was out of the Army, he was a singer, and he had a band. And his band name was Johnny and the Fires, and he's Johnny. And he was the singer, And they were very well represented in Buffalo. And they used to work a lot with some of the local radio stations on gigs. And they would go places. And I know stories because one of the members of the band, Sam Guarino, is his name. He's still alive. He was the saxophone player. And he played with my dad when he was 15 and 16 years old. Wow. And he would tell me stories. And I'm on the radio one day in Buffalo. And I get a message on Facebook from this guy. And he says, "Are you John Capaccio's son? I heard you on the radio. You have the last name and you sound just like him." I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm his saxophone player from Johnny and the Fires back in the 1960s.
Wow.
And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" So now I'm totally interested because I didn't know much about my dad's, you know, tell me more about it, right? They had a record. I have the record at home. I have a 78. There's 45s, there's 78s, right? You remember the 78s?
Yeah, I remember.
My dad, Johnny and the Fires, they made a record of 78. The recording studio was on Northampton Street. Just off Main, across from the Delta Sonic on Main. You know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Right there in that building across the street, not the post office, the one on the other side, there used to be a recording studio in there apparently because on the record, Pat, it literally has the address listed where it was recorded. That's how I know.
Wow.
So I looked it up, right? And I'm like, you know what? I could actually pull up. Can I pull up the actual the song?
Yeah.
My brother sent me the song, and I have it, and I have to grab it for you right now, and I can actually play the song through my iPhone. If I can right now for you. So give me a second. Maybe you talk about these wings real quick or something. I'm just going to bring this up if I can do it. I think it'd be very cool if I could do this.
I definitely want to hear it. That's a fascinating... Well, I'm trying to grab something here. Because I actually, with this mixer, do you have an iPhone?
I have it right here.
Do you have an iPhone?
I do have an iPhone.
Well, check this out.
Can we play Johnny and the Fires? So this is my dad's song called Stop, Look, and Listen. Okay? My dad is the singer. Okay? And here's the thing about it. He was, they played at a lot of Buffalo nightclubs, and they were really popular. They went down to Olean, I guess, a lot to play. They just went all around, and yeah, it was really cool. And people, so my graduation party from high school, my dad was still alive then. It was the coolest thing. One of my greatest memories in life, Pat, is my dad and me and my brother sang his song on a stage because we had a band at my graduation party. That's my brother's cool. Band played. My brother was in a band. He was a drummer. I'm a drummer. He played. And my dad got up and sang, and we all went up there and sang Stop, Look, and Listen together. Do you want to put it in here?
Put it on. See if it can play on your mic, okay? Because I just realized I don't have the channel on for this.
Okay, I'm going to do this right here. Here we go. This is Stop, Look, and Listen by Johnny and the Fires back in the late 1960s. Johnny is John Capaccio, my dad. You like it?
That's awesome, dude.
The saxophone player who I met, you got to hear the sax part. Here we go. It's coming up. Here we go.
This is kind of wild, man. Wow.
There you go, baby. That's Stop,
that
Look,
is
and Listen.
Amazing. What year
Johnny
was that
and
in?
The Fires.
Ballpark.
I guess it had to be 66, 67, somewhere in there.
Wow. That's so awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know what the promo is going to be for this episode now.
I think so, yeah. I think that's what it was. Pretty crazy.
Forget the wings, man.
I know, right?
All right, I got a couple more. One of them, this is some everybody knows The Odd, obviously. Young or new, you know The Odd. Like, what are one or two of your favorite memories from The Odd?
So I would have to say going there, obviously, right, was the... I'd have to be a memory from going there. It couldn't be maybe something just watching on TV. Used to go to the Sabres open practices when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And we loved it. And that was because I didn't grow up with money. We couldn't go to a lot of games. Mm-hmm. When I went, they were in the Oranges, right? But that was my time to go and sit low and watch the team. I remember going to the open practices. My brother caught a puck when I think Tom Barrasso threw one, a bunch of pucks over. My brother caught one, right? I remember the open practices were the best. We used to go to the open practices. have a great time. As far as like games and things like that are concerned, I don't know. I saw Gilbert Perreault. I think he had a hat trick against Quebec Nordique one time that stands out. Mike Ramsey beat the living heck out of one of the Nordiques players, I think, during that game. It was pretty cool, you know. Mm-hmm. But then we had really interesting one was, I have one. Circus was in town in Rochester. Sabres didn't make the playoffs. Rochester Americans did. So the Amerks have to come to Buffalo to play their first two games because their arena is being used for the Circus. Mm-hmm. So the Amerks come to Buffalo to play in the playoffs. Amherst have a young man named Ray Shepard. We all want to see Ray Shepard play, right? Yeah. He's coming up. We're like, this kid, Ray Shepard, we all got to go. I'm in high school. So we go to the game. They're playing the Hershey Bears. We get there early. Me and my buddy Lex, I told you about him, Matt Lexer, he might be listening. He's a teacher and coach in Orchard Park. A couple other friends. We're with somebody's dad. We go there early. Pre-game warm-ups, there's yapping and yapping and yapping going on. Next thing you know, in the pre-game warm-ups, Pat, there is a huge brawl. Everyone on the ice is just going at it. It's amazing. No refs on the ice. It's pregame warm-ups. It's incredible. And there was guys swinging sticks at each other. It was one of the more amazing, horrifying, like, things I've ever seen, right? It was crazy.
I feel like I sort of remember that.
Well, there's a YouTube video, and I don't speak fondly of this because it's horrible. One of the players got really, really seriously hurt, like on the Hershey Bears, like his head or something. There's a video you can watch. But anyway, a bunch of players got kicked out of the game, and they didn't even play, right? And the game went to overtime. Remember, that was crazy. They got kicked out before the game started. It was the refs came out. That was a memory. I also remember walking through the corridors one time. Again, with Lex, we used to go to a lot of games, you know, when I got older and sit in the oranges. We're walking through. You know how the ramps that went up to, like, the blues, and they'd ramp up to the oranges?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's just yelling at the top of their lungs, "Get security! Get security!" There's some guy passed out. I don't know. Those are the things. Like, the Odd was just a weird place, man. The smell. I remember the smell, the look, all that. That's what stands out about the Odd.
I don't know if you remember this, but, like, they would have the scoring leaders up. And this was before the blogs and before, like, even the newspapers. Like, that was my way to find out who was leading the leagues in scoring.
It was like the Red Sox, the way they put the numbers. You have to change it manually, right? Yep. Yeah, you're right. Yep. I remember all of that. It was crazy.
Let's wind down. A couple more here.
Yeah.
Buffalo Stallions. I don't know how many people know them. They were a soccer team, 1979, 1984.
Come on out to see the Buffalo Stallions live and boom, boom, kicking at the Odd. I remember that. Steve Jungle. I mean, for like the New York team, maybe. Steve Jungle was like this great guy.
I remember the name.
Tony Marola maybe was the goalie. Was that his name? Tony Marola, I believe, was the goalie's name, I think.
I can't remember.
But hey, I remember. I didn't go, but I remember the Stallions.
I do, too. And ironically, like, years and years later, Rudy Pikusinski, you know, Rudy and Randy, the brothers, the Pikusinski brothers, they were probably the best players on that team. I lived with Randy at one point down the road. One more, and then we'll wrap up here. Pilot Field being constructed in the late 80s. What do you remember about
that? One of the last years ever of War Memorial, we go to a game on a field trip. The school takes it's like junior high field trip, basically. Pilot Field built when I was early high school, 9th grade, 10th grade. I'm in middle school, field trip. We go to a day game. Amazing story. We're sitting there. Now, the way the stands were configured was, and this isn't a Pilot Field story, but it gives me a chance to tell this story. You sat kind of on the field level. Remember, for some of the because the stands didn't go, you had the football field, but it was really a baseball field.
Right.
So on first base, it was a bunch of seats.
Yeah.
And then it went up into the bleachers, right? So, Conehead, who obviously is still around, Tom Giroux, great guy. Conehead, he was young, but he was doing it back then. This is the late 80s. Conehead was serving a beer kind of behind us. And a foul ball comes screaming past me and my buddies. We're like, whoosh. And I'm not kidding you, Pat. Conehead bent down to pour the beer, and the ball hit his cone, and it flew off his head. Right. That was our reaction. We were laughing. Years later, 10, 20 years later, we see Conehead, me and my buddies, at a game, and we tell him this story. My buddy's like, oh, my God, it was so funny. And he looked like he had this look in his face. He goes, wouldn't have been so funny if it was like 2 inches lower, which he's right, right? But he remembered that, and Tom's a friend of mine now. We talk all the time, but it was amazing. What I remember is just like, wow, this is cool. Are we going to get Major League Baseball someday? I remember it opening. I didn't go. Tom Prince hit the home run. They won 1-0. I know that. Rainy, dreary day. You can find all that stuff on YouTube. But it was just kind of disappointing. We didn't get Major League Baseball, but in the end, I think it was probably the right call for Buffalo because I don't think we could have supported three major league sports teams at one time in this city.
Completely agree, 100%. All right, so before I let you go, quickly here, it's been reported by the Buffalo News recently, Eric Woods going to be back joining the broadcast team for Buffalo Bills games this year. Just your thoughts on Eric working with him a couple years ago, and then also the job that Steve did last year. Which
Steve
was fantastic.
Did an amazing job, yeah. And you know, with him, being in the business for so long on the TV side on CBS, you know, knowing his role and what his job is, and you know, he was amazing to work with. And Eric, as a guy who was not in that role, was unbelievable to be able to jump right in as his first year when he did it with us and, you know, be a part of the broadcast. I was just really blown away. What I love about both those guys is, though, you know, they're just great colleagues to work with. And, you know, sometimes, you know, something happens during a game. I have something to say. I'll tell Murph. That's the best part about Murph. He never tells me no. If I have something, he knows it's important. He allows me to say it.
Right.
And he gets it to me when he can. He can't every time, right? Every second. But those guys, that's what I love about them. They're great to work with. There's never an ego about, no. We don't need to hear from you, or we need to hear from me. They're a great team. So I'm really looking forward to Eric being back on the broadcast, of course. But I'm super, you know, I'm super happy I got to work with Steve. And he did a great job. And him being still on the radio, it's the best of both worlds for someone like me, who still gets to work with both of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody Ford, there was a tweet, some fan, or he calls himself a fan anyway, tweeted a bunch of nonsense. It basically said, after just 2 years, that he's probably the biggest disappointment of the Brandon Bean era. And Cody Ford kind of clapped back at him a little bit, said, I don't care what you or anybody else with negative thoughts got to say anymore. You don't sign my checks or know the real. What I wanted to ask you, I mean, that goes without saying. That guy was an idiot who tweeted that. That was just uncalled for. Tagging other players when you got something negative to say for them, that's just attention seeking, and I hate that. But it's one thing if I say something dumb. I got 5,500 followers. Somebody might get at me. But, man, you're over 100,000 followers. Though. That's a lot of followers. So what comes with that territory are trolls. Like, that guy was clearly trolling Cody Ford for reaction. I'm sure you get some of that on a semi-regular basis, obviously, but how do you deal with that? How do you deal with idiots who are just trying to get your attention, saying dumb things?
So, Pat, I would tell you that we should have a podcast about this sometime and just talk for a long time, because I think it's something that I've kind of had to navigate through a lot of different ways, and I think I'm far better at it now than I used to be. I still give attention sometimes to people I shouldn't give attention to, and I get bothered when I do it. I'm like, why did I do that? I would say that it's an ever-evolving process, and it's an ever-changing process. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. There's no one way here. I think what I do now, though, is try as much as I can to just kind of tune that out, and if it's someone who does it a lot or I notice on my feed, I'll just mute them. I won't block them. Just mute them, like, because then you can follow me still. I'm just not going to hear from you, right? I don't have a lot of people muted. I definitely don't have a lot of people blocked. I went and unblocked a lot of people a long time ago. Like, hey, if you want to follow me, that's fine. I might mute you, though, and I don't have to hear from you. You know, it gets a little bit frustrating sometimes, but I will say I get it a lot, but only because I have a lot of followers. 95-99% of my followers are amazing. My tweets are amazing. My mentions are great. They're positive. I'm an optimistic, positive guy. That's who I am. You know that. And I just try to leave that at the door. So it's ever changing for me. And sometimes I do respond when I shouldn't, but I try to do my best not to and just move on.
It's easier said than done, though.
Correct.
Absolutely, 100%. And again, I have far less followers than you, and even I go through a little bit of that. I'm not going to bother asking you about your level of concern with COVID outbreaks. Obviously, you're concerned about it. We see what's going on with the Olympics, other sports right now, players having to miss games, not to mention what's going on with some players and stuff like that. But when are you going to find out, like, how things are going to work operationally for you, like, for the upcoming season? That's like the million-dollar
question. I think a lot of it depends on the league and their protocols, and then what the Bills have to do as far as those protocols are concerned. We don't know. So, again, every day we're getting different kind of information on how everything looks. We might not find out. And here, it might be different in the preseason than the regular season, and then it might change in the regular season. So we know some things as far as how all of us, you know, we'll at least have some in-person interviews, but it'll be socially distant. But as far as me, road games, are we going back on the road? How are we traveling there? Is team playing, the charter, all of that really still yet to be decided, to be quite honest.
Last question. Got through the entire podcast. I got to ask you at least one Bills question. Training camp's getting ready to start. Just give me a guy or two that you're really looking forward to seeing at training camp this year, whether it's somebody who's competing for a roster spot, somebody who's maybe competing for a starting spot, just one or two guys that you're really specifically looking to be locked in on.
F.A. Obada, defensive end. I think he could be a difference maker. He could be a defensive tackle, too, by the way. I think they really like him, love his physical tools. He's so raw to the game. I think he could be someone to watch here and be, okay, let's see, you know, what this can be for the Buffalo Bills. That's one guy I would say. And then I'm really interested in that cornerback battle. I think Dane Jackson can win it from Levi. But, man, every time you say that, Levi wins that battle. I think that's going to be a great battle.
I agree 100%. And with that, we're going to put a bow on this episode. It's Tuesday night. My man Max is still out here chilling late into a Tuesday night. Lots of fun, though. Sports City Pizza Pub, 1407 Niagara Street. I'm telling you, I promise you guys, wings, pizza, craft beer, the environment, everything about this place is awesome. So, Sal Capaccio, WGR 550. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Sal Sports. He's only got about 95,000 followers.
104.
104, that's it.
Thanks, not buddy. That I'm counting.
It's always great to have you on.
Thanks, buddy.